morning to you, Megan. How are you doing there in the land of Erin?
Everyone that's here around me finds that accent really offensive. Just your particular performance of it right now. I know I'm wearing headphones, so they can't hear it, but they, like, know what's going on.
They can just sense that somebody's doing a horrible Irish accent somewhere in the vicinity.
Yeah, they can tell. Exactly. They can tell.
Oh, they perfect. They can
tell. It's real bad.
Well, if you haven't figured it out already yet, listeners, Megan is hanging out in Dublin, Ireland, and I'm back here holding down the fort in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So we're recording remotely today across the world and the oceans to bring an episode of Magic the Amateuring to you. Welcome. That's I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm your other host, Megan.
Megan, so tell me, how's Dublin?
You know, it's pretty good.
that is the lamest answer.
Well, I mean, it's true. It's pretty great.
Okay. What's the best thing that you've done in Dublin besides work the Pro Tour since you've been there?
Ooh, that's really tough to say. I went to a concert last night at the National Concert Hall. That was this guy named Cole Mulkinson. If you've ever listened to or like seen Les Mis, the musical, he's like the guy who wrote the musical Les Mis, like wrote the part of Javert and like all those songs for him.
Wow.
And so he did like a concert. It's like him and you know, like a mini orchestra situation. And he sings a bunch of different songs that he's sung throughout his, you know, illustrious musical career.
I really hope the poster said, illustrious musical career with a tiny orchestra situation.
Yeah, I was exactly quoting the paper. I was exactly quoting the posters.
And you texted me.
With a tiny orchestra.
You texted me the other day, oh, I was touring a castle like a nerd. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Touring a castle is only every dream I ever have. I just imagine I'm constantly touring a castle. And then I'm like, yeah, that's heaven.
It was great. There's like, there's the current like state house of Dublin built on top of it that was built in like the 1800s.
Oh, cool.
But then you can go, you can take a tour below where there's still, like, they excavated this, like, medieval castle that was built, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago.
Oh, that's really so cool. So on today's episode, we're going to talk about the Pro Tour because, Megan, you were there in the thick of it amidst the action. You were mere inches away from players as they played in the top eight feature matches, which was pretty cool. And we're going to talk about standard, state of standard, state of draft. We're coming up this weekend on GP Pittsburgh. So how is standard going to change or stay the same? And we're going to talk about draft because the Pro Tour is not just about standard. It's also about draft. And Megan's been drafting a lot and seeing a lot of draft, and I'm still terrible at it.
Yeah. You know, I'm still, like, very uneven.
Okay. Well, at least I'm not the only one.
Yeah. No, the general... gist of what I understand people feel about it is that everybody's just sort of like,
like, I don't know. Well, maybe?
So, yeah, exactly.
Before we do our show, we have some people to thank, of course. And first of all and foremost, we'd like to thank you, the listeners, everybody who's a member of our Less Than 1% Club on patreon.com/mtacast. Thank you so much for being patrons. It means the world to us. We had a really good month of new patrons last month, and hopefully we can keep that going during February. And when we say Less Than 1% Club, that's like not just something we say, that's serious. Literally less than 1% of the people who listen support us. So it really means a lot when you give just a dollar an episode. So thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And of course, we have to thank cardkingdom.com/MTAcast. Head over there to buy any cards you're going to need to play standard or some packs for drafting. You can trade your draft cards in to buy more things. It's just like an endless cycle of fun happening over there. I'm looking at their website right now at their hot buy list. So, like, you can look and see if they've got any cards that you're like, oh, I have, like, this Nyssa Voice of Zendikar laying around. Well, turns out I can get, like, $10 or $13 for it trading. That seems pretty good. So, like, you can just peruse and kind of see some cool deals they have going on. CardKingdom.com/MTAcast. Pro Tour Ether Revolt time. Megan, give us the skinny or the fat, however you want to give it to us. How'd the Pro Tour go down from the inside? You were the inside. You're on the inside.
I mean, you guys saw it. It was a lot of Marta vehicles.
Yeah. It was a bit of a traffic jam.
Yeah. It was, there were lots of vehicles there. Lots of vehicles showed up. Lots of people played vehicles. There were a lot of vehicles.
It was like L.A. at 5 p.m. on a Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's funny, though, is because I don't think anybody really thought that was going to happen.
Yeah, I think it was definitely a surprise. I feel like going into it, lots of people assumed that it would be the Saheeli cat combo.
Yeah.
But as far as I can tell, there's just like some really effective ways to fight that. You know, like people had mentioned like authority of the consoles and the sideboard, but even Thalia, which that deck like doesn't mind playing anyways, with Mardu vehicles, I mean, doesn't mind playing anyways, does the same thing, you know?
Exactly.
It does the exact same thing where all of those creatures enter tapped. So, yeah. And then it's just like, honestly, Mardu vehicles is just like kind of, it's really fast. it gets in there before, it gets in there before they even have a chance.
I know, it's so true. And people were all worried that Smuggler's Copter going away was going to mean that Mardu vehicles wasn't super competitive or wasn't as competitive as it had been. But it turns out Heart of Curin, like card of the tournament, basically.
Just a really good card. Just a really good magic card.
You know,
it turns out that if you take away Smuggler's Copter, but you replace it with a bigger Smuggler's Copter.
Turns out it's fine.
It turns out it's still just fine.
Because,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
It essentially is. I mean, its drawbacks are that it's legendary. But, I mean, mm-hmm. You know, that's okay. It's bigger, and it has vigilance. So mm-hmm. You don't get to loot, which the deck does miss, I will say that. But it turns out it's just fine. Just fine to have a bigger car sometimes.
Yeah, and a lot of them are still, a lot of the Mardu decks are still, like, splashing blue for a card like Metallic Rebuke out of the sideboard.
Yeah.
Which is, also quite good against something like if Cat Combo is just trying to, like, going to try and tap out and kill you as soon as they can or whatever, it's easy to just be like, nope.
I think it was the professor or somebody who tweeted out, like, no, it wasn't. It was somebody else who said, we should have known that bringing cars to a cat fight would win. Which is really sad, and it makes me sad inside to think about, but seriously.
Yeah.
So was that just kind of the mood as soon as like day one kind of finished, were people starting to realize that Mardu vehicles was kind of going to overtake the format?
I don't know if like everybody knew it that soon. That I don't know if anyone looked at it and was like, oh, this is going to be like the bulk of our top eight. But I don't know if a lot of people were surprised because, from what I heard, a lot of the big teams came in with Mardu vehicles.
Yeah.
So at least, like, a lot of the, a lot of the teams that we saw from the new team series, I don't think it took them by surprise. Because I think a lot of them, even if they didn't end up playing it, a lot of them knew, like, hey, this deck is going to be very good. And they had at least considered playing it.
Yeah, in case you don't know, six of the top eight decks... Somebody in Ireland's getting arrested! Okay, six of the top eight decks in the top eight were Mardu vehicles. Slightly different builds, but they all were. So it was exceedingly dominant.
And of those, like the two non-vehicles decks didn't make it out of the first quarterfinal.
Yeah. They got destroyed.
So literally places 1 through 6 were Mardu vehicles.
Yeah, so
and
I guess
7 and 8.
You could look at it like... Oops, cat combo is strong, and it was like an all right deck, but how do you go under that? Well, you just play something faster and aggressive, something that can disrupt it, and turns out it can't really deal with it, which makes sense logically, too. And if you haven't seen any of the finals, or it was a pretty neat game, the final match. It was Mardu vehicles v Mardu vehicles. But it was actually some sick sideboard tech that came out for the win, which was our friends the Gremlins. As I think you wrote in your article, let me quote, Kaladesh's cutest infestation
yes.
came back to help win that game, which was a really cool moment. And our victor was Lucas Esper Berthoud, which, if you have a middle name like Esper, I hope you're a Magic player.
Right?
Yeah.
I hope that someday he gets to play his namesake, or, you know, like his matching name deck.
Yeah, that would be so cute. Or he could play Luis's baby Naya in a tournament someday, and that would just be adorable. But it was really cool to see Lucas pull off a victory there, particularly because of his teammates, and they were just like, and that was kind of the other thing that was really neat, to see everybody cheering and doing chants the whole weekend for their teammates because of the team series. It turned out to be super cool, and people love this.
Yeah, the team series was super great, and I think that like going into it, people felt kind of mixed. As far as I could tell, like, some people were super excited and some people were like, this was kind of a really big hassle, you know, to get together. Because, you know, like, testing teams before this, obviously there were no rules, there were no restrictions. People just ended up with a testing team that they had. And in no way was it ever like exactly six people.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people kind of had issues with being like, okay, well, now I have to find a team of exactly six. And people still, from what I can tell, like, a lot of teams still tested across the team series teams. Like, Channel Fireball, Ice, and Face to Face, for example, tested together. And, like, the Puzzle Quest and the D3 Go team tested together. They both have the same sponsor. But anyways, you know, like, a lot of them still tested with their old group.
Yeah.
But it was some people, it was kind of a hassle to figure out exactly how to divide up into teams of six people. Mm.
Yeah.
But at the end of the weekend, a lot of people were like, this is awesome. It was so much fun. The biggest thing that people said to me was like, it was so, you know, like before this, yeah, there was, you always have friends that you know, and you always are like interested to know how your friends are doing and you're like rooting for them. But this made it so much more real.
Yeah. It kind of made it more like playing a team, you know, event, right? Because like Team Limited or whatever, like San Antonio will have. Sorry, that wasn't Limited. Team Limited was like Washington, D.C., or Team Unified Modern or whatever, which will be San Antonio, which you live or die by the strength of your team. And while that wasn't technically happening, you still, at the end of the year, will when one team emerges victorious or whatever. And do you remember what the prize is for having the most points?
So I don't remember, like, what the prizes themselves are, but the way it works is that at the end of the season, the two top points teams get to go to, there's going to be like a team series portion of the world championship this year.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
So those two top scoring teams will be invited to face off at the world championship.
Sick. So right now, yeah, leading the team points board, we have Team MTG Mint Card and Team Musashi. So those are the teams to beat. So Lucas was on Team Dex third, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're not doing too shabby either.
No, I imagine not.
My favorite team was Team MTG Bent Card.
Yeah.
Because that's just so good. Team MTG Bent Card. Team MTG Bent Card.
Yeah.
Megan, what would you name our team? We'd have to find a bunch of other people, but I think we could, you could manage to sweet talk them into being on our team. What would you name it?
I don't know. At this point, we could be Team Release the Gremlins.
Yes. Yes. Team Release the Gremlins. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to come up with a team chant so we can be as cool as all those other teams, but I think that can happen. So
those
over...
Were a lot...
Go ahead. Oh, jinx! Sorry, I just blew your eardrums out probably.
Oh, I was just going to say that that was Dex Army and Dex Third a lot of the time, and like a lot of the Brazilian players who were doing all of like the cheers and stuff and chants on the sidelines. It was really cool.
It was so great, that final shot when they all lifted Lucas up or whatever after he won. Oh my gosh, it was such an emotional moment. I just really loved it. And if you didn't see it, I'd suggest you go back and watch it on Twitch or on YouTube, because it was pretty cool.
It was real cute.
So I just want to ask you a little bit about, this is your first time working on the PT and doing text coverage. So people can read your articles on Daily MTG and go into the event coverage archive. But how was that experience sitting there at the top tables and watching them play, like, in the feature match area?
It was really cool. It was, yeah, it was just like, you can tell, it was super interesting. Like, I think, I'm trying to remember which player it was. It was like in one of the semifinals that I wrote about, but the two guys were talking and one of them was just like, it feels kind of unreal, essentially. Yeah. That just like, it's like hard to focus and it's hard to play your best because it just doesn't feel like a real game of Magic.
Yeah. I mean, it's so different than a real game. Like a normal game, there are thousands of people watching you and there's not like this bizarre lighting happening and a camera spinning down and watching your match and five people surrounded you, two judges, somebody's writing. Like it's got to just be very surreal.
Yeah, exactly. That's basically what they were like. It's like very, very, yeah, crazy.
That's so cool. And I mean, I remember feeling things like you'll hear the players talk to each other or crack jokes before the camera rolls, which I always think is so funny. Like you at home, you kind of see them as two, you know, really intense giants of the game sitting there ready to do battle. But in reality, they're just like really nervous, as same as you or I would be, you know, and
everybody's super nice to each other.
Yeah. And they're all so nice.
Yeah. I thought it was really funny, like in the quarterfinal that I wrote, which was like Paolo versus this guy Donald Smith, who's I forget which team he's on. Oh, he's on Team Lingering Souls and he's from Louisiana. But anyways, he was like to Paolo, he was like, "Oh, did you play last weekend in Prague?" Which is really funny
because Paolo
got second last weekend in Prague. And Paolo was just like very, he was just like, yeah.
I did.
Oh, which that's was just like, it was really funny to me. I just wanted to lean over and be like, he got second.
Oh, yeah.
The guy was like, oh, do you think it like helps or hurts your testing to go to the GP the weekend before? And I was like, well, I'm pretty sure Paolo would say that it helped him.
Oh, that's cute. I love stories like that.
Yeah. It was super adorable. It was great.
So of what you saw, or of what you kind of would predict, if you were going to play Standard in Pittsburgh this weekend, what would you want to play?
Mardu Vehicles. I think it's a mistake to play anything else.
Really? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I think so. Because it's interesting, like a lot of people kept saying, the deck has a bad matchup against green black, or like, it's like not super favorable or it's like pretty even.
Yeah.
But the honest truth is like I watched two different Mardu Vehicles versus green black decks and Mardu Vehicles just like stomped them. I felt like they didn't even have a chance, you know?
Yeah.
The deck was just too fast and like green black was just too slow. They just couldn't keep up.
Do you think there is something to be said for just playing the deck that beats Mardu Vehicles, which I'm not sure what that is, but
that's the thing is that I don't know what that is.
Someone will have to invent it. It would, you know, like fumigate or something. Like, I don't know.
Not even. You know, it's like, what does that do against the Heart of Kieran?
Nothing.
And like, honestly, most of the games that I was watching and writing up ended on turn 5 or 6.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
right?
A good
like,
point.
You're dead by the time you're casting a fumigate. I guess they were saying that some of the like, the problem with some of the green black or like the green black matches that I watched was that those were like a little bit slower or like clunkier green black decks. And they said that like if it's like one of like the very low to the ground, cheap, fast green black, then that's more difficult for them.
Sure. Well, I guess we'll find out, won't we?
Yeah.
Because
wasn't it
Portland, which was after the PT last time, Megan, that you were at and somebody brought, that craziness with Harmless Offering? And, wow, somebody's playing Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's in this place. I'll tell you a funny story in just 2 seconds. But yeah, that was at, that was at GP Portland.
Yeah.
Which was it a week? It was like, that was in August.
I'm trying to remember if it was after a pro tour or not, but it was at some point when the format was ripe to just have something new enter it. And
yeah, that's true.
sort of came out of nowhere. So that is a possibility that we could see something like that happen. Yeah. But
still, if I were playing this weekend, I would play Martyr Vehicles so to release the Gremlins in the sideboard.
Yep. I mean, I love that deck. It's totally my style. I don't think I like it as well as I liked Mono White, but I still think it's a real fun deck for me to play.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the mirror match, in my opinion, is still kind of fun. It's not like a horror show.
Yeah, my only critique really of the mirror match is that of all the ones that I watched, it's just the player who is on the play.
Yeah, the advantage is extremely strong for being on the play.
Yeah, like literally, I don't remember if that's 100% true of the quarterfinal that I wrote, but the semifinal that I wrote, that's literally just how it went. The person on the play won.
Yeah.
Out of five games, it went 3-2, and the guy who had, who got to pick if he was playing first in the very first game was the guy who won.
Yeah, and match. I mean, like, Lucas was undefeated in Constructed. Undefeated at his pro tour, and it was his first pro tour. Like, I'm just gonna go undefeated and Constructed. No big deal. Whatever.
I don't think it was his first pro tour.
Oh, wasn't it?
It was his. No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. He had no pro points coming in.
That's correct.
Okay.
But he'd been to not a lot of pro tours, but a couple.
Yeah, he qualified via an RPTQ, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I think that's super awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. So what's your funny story?
Oh, so like, I think it was only like the first or second day I was here or something. And we were out at dinner after, a day of, I think it must've been Thursday, because we had done prep work. We had been at the venue doing a bunch of prep work, and then we went out to dinner. And we were we were in this restaurant, and BDM points out that we're listening to a cover, the restaurant is playing a cover of a Red Hot Chili Peppers song. I don't remember which one off the top of my head.
Okay.
Right, but let's just point out that it's a cover of a Red Hot Chili Peppers song is playing at this restaurant. And then he goes, I've just noticed that most of the music I've heard here playing in places is covers. And I was like, that's weird. And that sounds like an exaggeration. Like, how many covers can possibly be played? Like, that's not a thing. And then, we go back to the hotel and we all do a draft later on that evening. And then I'm going up to bed afterwards and I have to stop in the lobby. And as I'm standing in the lobby, I realized that I was listening to a cover of the Robin song Dancing on My Own, but a slow cover as performed by a dude in a weird folky way. Like, I'm listening to a weird dude folky cover of Robin's Dancing on My Own.
That's so weird.
This is weird. And then I realized that he's right.
Many covers.
They're not playing them in this place, but so many places that I went, they were playing covers. And I'm not talking about classic covers of you cover Beatles songs or whatever. I'm talking about covers of just the most random stuff.
Well, they just want to hear it in an Irish accent, maybe.
Maybe so. I have no idea.
That is bizarre.
So weird. Yeah. It was really odd. But, great.
Have you made friends with the sheep?
I haven't been out in the countryside, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you gonna go out there? What's on the docket yet for you?
Let's see. Today I'm probably just gonna walk around more. It's really sunny today. It's pretty.
Awesome.
I really like walking. Yeah.
Okay, so Aether Revolt draft. Here's my take on it. I'm doing my Maria hands. If you're watching the video, mm-hmm. Megan, she says I do these hands, and I'm doing them.
Yeah, you do.
I don't know what's going on. That was kind of the story at the Pro Tour as well. People are like, they had differing opinions going in. Some people are like, this is way faster. A few people are like, no, it's slowing down. Somebody's like, always draft this color. And other people are like, no, stay open. I have not 3-0'd a draft yet. So it is beginning to get to the point where I've been streaming and I'm just like, well, we're going to draft this deck. It's probably going to be a sweet deck and it's going to be a good deck. And then we're just going to lose with it. So do you have any insights on the format?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea. But as far as I can tell, that's kind of the general
That's so weird.
That's kind of like, that's kind of how everybody feels. Everybody's just like, I don't know.
What? How does that happen? I'm like legitimately curious how a format can be so like, is it because it's swingy?
Yeah.
Is that why? Because there's, the bombs are so good?
Like, I don't know. That's what, like, everybody's just been saying, like, they don't even know if it's that, like, it's kind of like, nobody knows.
It's a mystery.
As far as I can tell. So the answer's like, nobody knows. If you look at the top 8 profiles, they have a question that's like, even it's from players who went like, you know, like 5-1 in draft, and they're like, what do you need to do to be successful in Aether Revolt draft? And they're like, God, I wish somebody would tell me. And these are people who went 5-1 in drafts at the Pro Tour.
And they still don't know.
Yeah, and they're just like, I don't know.
We, you know, I haven't ever had a format since we've been playing the game where I feel like this has been the case. Where across the board, everybody's just like, look, I have no idea how to win at this format. When I do, it's like a complete fluke.
Yeah, and that's how I feel. It's just like, and a lot of people have said it comes down to like a lot of games will come down to who gets mana screwed or who gets mana flooded.
Oh, interesting.
Can be a lot of it.
I know a lot of people, I think it's common knowledge now that you should not be playing 17 lands in your mm-hmm. draft deck. So I think that is definitely the case because getting flooded is so, so bad. There's just nothing to do with your mana when you get up that high, except like activate your, you know, one mana kill anything for 7 or your automaton robot who will just copy something. Like, I'm trying to think of what you possibly could do with a lot of mana, and it's not a lot of things.
Yeah.
Solvent. What is it? Universal Solvent. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just sort of like... Yeah, I don't...
It just sits there. All your lands just sit there. So there was a... the only thing that I've heard from somebody that I know has been having success in draft is our guest last week, Ben Seck, said he was... he had made the finals of every draft that he had done playing Rakdos. So...
Okay.
That is the only bit of tech that I can impart to you, the listener, this week as to what to do in your drafts. I haven't yet to try and force that strategy, maybe I will and just see what happens. I guess my guess is that it's a deck with a lot of like Aether Chasers, which is, you know, a pretty solid card, and removal because there's tons of removal in black and red, like Chandra's Revolution or whatever. But I mean, I don't know. I guess we'll see. I do believe that the format does seem to be more leaning toward the aggressive side, that 2 drops are a premium, and people are putting way higher value on drafting, like, you know, our favorite cat monkey friend or an Aether Chaser, mm-hmm. like I mentioned, rather than something like a big flyer or something like that.
Yeah. I've also heard a lot of people seem to agree that white is just, like, the worst color.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it varies on, like, how bad people think it is, from some people just being like, well, it's the worst, but whatever. And some people just being like, don't draft it.
Just don't.
Like, just don't draft it.
What's interesting to me is that white has such good, you know, traditional, quote-unquote, not like, remove something, but there's a lot of, like, lockdown effects in this color. Like, you have Thopter Arrest, you have Revoke Privileges, you have Cotton the Brights, which normally you'd be like, oh, that's so sweet, but the truth is I don't even want to take Cotton the Brights, and it's coming so late because there's like Iron Tread Crusher sitting around in this format and you can still crew it. So that might be part of the reason why. I don't know. Well, this is really interesting. If you think you've solved the draft format, please call our hotline, 1-800-HELP-US-DRAFT. Don't call that number. It's not real. But you can tweet at us, at MTAcast, and please tell us how to win at this format. The people need to know.
Let's see. The other writer who was there, Toby, one day drafted, like, a sweet, I think it was, like, full Grixis. Like, Grixis... improvised deck.
Oh, sweet.
That was super sweet. Like, as far as I can tell, I will say that, like, I do think improvised decks are a thing.
Okay.
Even, like, I drafted a really sweet improvised deck that, like, I lost a whole match with because 2 games in a row I got stuck on 2 lands.
Oh, dang.
Going back to, like, that thing where people have been saying, you know, they feel like it comes down to screw or flood a lot of times.
Yeah.
But like, it was, you know, I had the Maverick Thopterist. I cast one of those on turn three off of two lands. Like a deck like that, that was just like super sweet.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I do think, and like I've also gotten trounced by that deck that can just like, it has like ways to draw cards. It has ways to just like, you know, it has really cheap, they play like a lot of the really super cheap implements.
Yeah.
And they just like power out, you know, these improvised threats really fast.
Yeah, just that cool. Lurking 7-Eleven in the background sitting there, you know, kind of what they're up to if they play that on turn one.
Exactly.
So my cat Lear is behind my computers right now, and there was a tiny little dice that was sitting there, and I didn't even know he was on the table, but I see this little cat paw come out and just start like trying to play with the dice. Anyway, that was a
cute
story from my life over here. But yeah, it's kind of frustrating, but the weird part is that I like drafting. I still like drafting this format, even though I'm consistently losing at it. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Flavortext Theater presents the dating game Overseas Edition Long Distance Relationship. So this is a new variant. I've got a pack of Aether Revolt here. We're going to play Remember the Cards We Open. Go into our drawing for a Patreon. Patron of patreon.com/mtacast at the end of the month. And Megan's going to be our suitor. You're going to be our bachelorette. And I'm going to shuffle these up so we don't have like all the rares and uncommons together. I'm going to give her a few suitors to choose from. But she doesn't know who they are, and she'll have to guess who they are at the end of her questions. If you've ever seen the old-fashioned dating game, so let me pick three suitors for you, Megan. I'm just kind of doing this blind out of this pack. Hopefully, get some sweet ones here. Oh God. This one's kind of dumb. I'm not gonna do that one. Okay. I've got it. Your three bachelors are ready.
All right. All right. Bachelor number one. Mm-hmm. Or actually, this is a question for everybody.
Okay.
So, what describe your perfect day to me?
My perfect day would be basically going out into the street and stopping anybody from doing what made them happy.
Are you a Republican congressman?
Yes, but I can't tell you my name because I'm married. But I'm on this dating show anyway because that's just how we roll.
Wow.
Yeah, but wow. If it's something that brings you joy, you don't get to do it. So I will mansplain, I will manspread, and I will slap that plate of hot, fresh waffles out of your hand and onto the cold, cold concrete. That's my perfect day.
You're really living in the right time.
Yeah, I am.
Bachelor number two, same question.
My perfect day would be to bring all of my friends out into the woods and set them all up in a line and give them each a really nice present. I'd be like, you get a present, you get a present, you get a present, you get a present. It would all be the same present, but they'd all get a present. And then I would be like, I'm the best friend. I brought you all into the woods and I gave you a present. It's not creepy and weird at all.
Yeah, just one present per friend,
per
right?
Per friend, yes.
Oh, yeah. That's really nice of you. Yeah. That's a really kind thing to do.
Thank you.
I like that
about
you.
Some of them will like it because it's all the same. I mean, but I hope they'll all make use of it.
I think that they all will.
Good.
Third bachelor, same question.
My thing I would like to do with my day would just be to head into my sweet, sweet auto shop. I've got a great job. I've got a steady 9-to-5 where I work on cars. So that would be my day. But what would really make it the perfect day is that at the end of the day, I get to take my welding gun and just like shoot somebody in the face with it. Which I know is illegal and really bad form because they're probably going to be permanently maimed. But what can I say? That's what I'm into. Okay, don't yuck my yum. I like to shoot people in the face with fire. Get over it.
Wow.
You've got some real winners here, Megan. I don't know who you're going to take on the date, but do you know who our bachelors are?
You know, I still have a couple of questions.
Okay.
Have a couple of questions for them.
Yeah.
I would just love to know, what's your favorite meal?
Okay.
We'll start with Bachelor 3.
Oh, Bachelor 3.
Yeah.
My favorite meal is the sad look on somebody's face when I shoot them in the face with fire.
Okay.
That has nothing to do with food. Probably a flambé or a creme brulee. Something you have to light on fire is what I'm saying.
Just out of curiosity, Bachelor number 3, when you're lighting your friends on fire.
Yeah.
Do you have to you work in a car shop. Do you have to destroy cars in order to set people on fire?
No. I bought my own welding gun, so I just shoot them with that I bought.
You just shoot people with your own welding gun?
Yeah, I have to buy a new one every time to shoot them, but I do.
Wow. All right.
I mean, I gotta pay for it every time, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Okay.
I think I understand. Bachelor number 1, same question.
What was the question again?
Your favorite meal.
Oh, my favorite meal is the meal that I slapped out of your hands when I said you couldn't have it. That I eat it off the ground. I eat it in front of you. And I'm like, that was delicious. Do you see what you can't have? That's just because I'm a huge dick. It has nothing really to do with my actual card abilities. And
You don't say.
Mm-hmm. And me, the one who was in the forest, you remember me. My favorite meal is just like small foods. I would say like a small Skittle, I can eat that no problem. Yeah. A tiny little egg, I would eat that just because I could potentially eat quite a large meal. I could ingest quite a bit of food.
Ridge Scale Tusker, you're my favorite.
Yeah! Nailed it! So which bachelors did you reject? I'm just curious.
Okay, well, I feel like the first bachelor, the last bachelor I rejected was Welder Automaton.
Oh, nailed it! Indeed. And next
But I still have, I still need a question for bachelor number
okay,
one.
Okay, okay.
Bachelor number one, can you describe for me, where do you live? Tell me about where you live.
I live in just a big burst of fire, basically. I live in a big burst of fire, which is what I generate just around me. I'm referring to my art. It really has nothing to do with who I am as a person. Where I would live, I would say, would be in index that, you know, would rather people don't play magic and only I play it.
Wow. Wow.
I'm really confused as to how you don't know who I am, because I'm totally your speed.
I am so confused.
Not only will I knock the waffle out of your hand, I will also knock the your ability out of
disallow. I didn't realize that was like flames.
Yeah, look at that. He's like surrounded in flames. Yeah, so
and look at that. He did just get done.
Yeah, he did.
He did just get done knocking a waffle out of someone's hand.
Look at that art. He's knocking that waffle straight out somebody's hand.
That's exactly what he's doing.
So, yeah, these cards, which Rich Gale Tusker, if you don't have a Gear Hulk, we take the next best thing, going in our pile.
Are you kidding? So this is an argument that people were having.
Which is better?
Which is, it is sometimes better.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. It is sometimes better. Yeah, this pack's sweet. You also have a Trophy Mage in here, Bastion Inventor, Death Dismissal. Pretty cool. I actually don't know where I fall on which one is better. I guess I would probably still take the Gear Hulk, just because if I don't have any dudes, it's a little bit better.
It's better.
But Rich Gale Tusker, I mean, it's close. It is close.
Yeah, it's you're never going to have them in the same pack, but...
Hey, we never did our January giveaway.
Oh, we didn't.
No,
you're right.
I still have it all here. with Ajani and everything. And now we've already started having our February one. But yeah, I'm going to put this in the pile for February. And we'll do January next show once you get back from Dublin. So it'll be like a double giveaway month. So if you didn't have time to get in and support on Patreon in January, get over now, because you'll have a chance. Well, everybody, that's our episode from Across the Ocean this week. Thanks for hanging out with us as we discuss the Pro Tour, and make sure you tune in to watch GP Pittsburgh this weekend. It's going to be, who knows what's going to happen. It might be a lot of cars. It might be things killing cars. Who knows? Who knows? Megan's going to continue to gallivant around Ireland. I assume that's the word that you would use to describe what you're doing?
100%.
Okay, great, great, great. Continue to gallivant. Oh, we just lost your video, so it's a good thing. Oh, there you are.
Here we go.
This episode is almost done. Thanks again to our sponsor, Card Kingdom. Head to cardkingdom.com, use /MTAcast in the web address so that they know that we sent you, because that's pretty cool. And join our family on Patreon, and we've got a Discord chat going. It's really awesome. You just have to message us if you want to sign up, because sometimes it doesn't work, but you can shoot us a message on Patreon if you want to get into the Discord, and I'll help you out. And of course, check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/MTAcast. Megan's new Elves deck tech is up there, which the people have been clamoring for, Megan. Clamoring.
Yes.
And it's up there, and it's great.
I'm pretty proud of it.
You can read our articles about how to build aggro and how to build mid-range on Daily MTG. Those were some super fun things to write, and just kind of a basic overview if you are interested in brewing your own decks and that kind of thing. And, of course, you can head to youtube.com/MTAplays to watch our very special friend of the show, Cube April, do some sweet, sweet cube drafts. She's now also drafting, like, Legacy, or not drafting, playing Legacy and Modern and stuff on there as well. So you can check that out. She's not just doing Cube. And we're going to have our own draft videos and et cetera, up there in the coming days. So check out youtube.com/MTAplays, our sister station. I think I got all of our plugs appropriately in there. Megan,
I think you did.
Do you have anything you want to plug from Ireland?
No, man. I mean, Ireland is great.
What's the name of the coffee shop you're in?
I'll put in a plug for Castles.
Okay. I thumbs up Castles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, if you live in Dublin, I'm at a coffee shop called Third Space. It's adorable.
Don't go there now. She won't be there because this was in the past, but still looks like a real cute place.
It is. It's adorable.
Well, thanks for hanging out, everybody. We'll catch you next week when we'll both be back here in the land of Minnesota. Bye!
That's right.